Welcome to CRE Tech Talks. This podcast series is brought to you by Building Engines, providing web and mobile property management software to innovative commercial real estate owners, managers, and the clients they serve for over 14 years. And now, please join our host, Building Engines Senior Vice President, Scott Sidman.
Welcome to this edition of CRE Tech Talks. We're going to do something a little bit different today. In the past, we usually interview and talk with someone from the industry, either a technology company or a real estate professional. We're interviewing one of our own this week. We're talking to our head of research, Phil Mobley, who has been with us here for a couple of years, and we're going to be talking to Phil about his recent CRE Tech Report research survey report. I want to kick things off first by letting people know that Phil has made a move from Atlanta, where he has been working for us for the past couple of years and living, working remotely and traveling to Boston, and has now moved to Boston. So my first question for Phil is, what were you thinking?
Well, you know, I wanted to hear as many Super Bowl jokes as possible was the main thing. It's great to be up physically with the team. And in fact, I've been enjoying these podcasts for 2 or 3 years now, so it's great to finally be a part of it. My 8-year-old daughter, about 5 days after we got up here, she said, I haven't even seen snow yet. I was promised there would be snow. And we said, well, relax, it's coming. And then, sure enough, a couple days later, we got about 6 inches. So,
and it's not going away for a while.
It's not going away for a while. So we're getting used to New England.
Good. Well, welcome to New England. Welcome to the Boston area. It's great to have you up here, and we're excited for spending more time with you. So let's kick this off, and certainly if anybody listens to this, we might even do it again. So
let's try to
make it entertaining and interesting for folks. First of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your background before Building Engines, and what you do here at Building Engines. Let's just let people know that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So I've been a researcher and consultant to the commercial real estate industry for, over a dozen years now. I started out in research even before that. So I've been looking at data and telling stories with data for a long time, essentially my whole career. And the real estate industry is one that I really enjoy working in. I worked for a survey research company for about 9 years, then left the industry for a year or so, and then finally decided to come back to it just because I missed the people that I'd met. I missed just the complexity, really, of the interaction between owners of buildings, managers of buildings, occupiers of buildings. There's, you know, that can be one entity, or it can be seven entities, and there's a lot of customer interplay that goes there that's really interesting to explore when you look at data. So here at Building Engines, I do a couple things. I kind of oversee our research efforts into customer satisfaction, and by customer, it's really our customers' customers, the tenants, the occupiers of the building. So that's right in line with the bulk of my experience in the commercial real estate industry. And then the other thing I do is projects like the one we're going to talk about today, benchmarking and efforts that help us understand what really is the definition of good in terms of how commercial real estate assets operate, and really providing value to our clients and helping them understand what are the steps that they need to do to operate well and add value. Because at the end of the day, it's the technology is an important piece, but how you use the technology is really the critical thing. Everybody has a system in their buildings that will help them manage maintenance and risk and serve tenants, and we're going to talk some more about that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But the key is really, how do you leverage those tools and your people and your processes in order to drive value through that? That's what this report is really about.
That's great. And before we jump into the report itself, let's talk about maybe one of the overarching themes that relates to this, and that's that concept of change. Mm-hmm. And certainly what we do here requires oftentimes our customers to think about change, right? Change about how they run their business and process change and all kinds of things like that. But there's also change taking place in the industry. And maybe at a high level, talk about what's going on there.
Yeah, I think the best way to really think about that is to start with what hasn't changed. And what hasn't changed is that the goal of a commercial real estate asset is to be just that, an asset. It is to increase value for an investor. And, you know, of course, the operational piece of that is about increasing income. And so you do that through rent and occupancy. You want more people in the buildings paying more rent. So that hasn't changed. But what has changed is the market pressures that are affecting especially the operational side of the commercial real estate industry. So, you know, we hear everything in the news about the millennial generation. Well, now they're the biggest single generation in the workforce. When they were in college, and by the way, they're almost all out of college now, they're almost all here in the workforce. So it's not 17-year-old kids anymore, it's people in their 30s. But when they were in college, they learned to work differently than maybe those who came before them. And that involved technology, wireless technology. That involved, because of that technology, the ability to work in places other than a desk. So, you know, a cushy chair in a library or a dorm room. It involved a sense of community, and not necessarily where you're always interacting directly with people, but you're always in an area where people are just kind of hanging around. And so this is a segment of the workforce that got really comfortable working that way. When that's the biggest cohort in the workforce, it really impacts the way people use the space. It impacts the way occupiers use the space. And of course, from an occupier perspective, if you're a company trying to put an office together, trying to find space, it used to be about math and how many people I can fit into a certain amount of space, how I can configure that space for sort of maximum efficiency, putting the right people, the right teams together, co-locating them. Well, the workforce wants to work differently now, and companies want the best workers. And so that means they're rethinking the way that they're delivering space. And Scott, you and I were at an event, I guess it was probably about 12 months ago now, maybe a little more, but we heard an executive say that his job as a property manager was to help his tenants hire and retain talent. And that's just a totally different mindset, right? It's not just about fixing elevators, turning wrenches, keeping things clean and operating. And it's not even really about customer service in the way that this industry has approached it, whereas you develop relationships with maybe a single point of contact at a tenant company. But it's about helping that company get the most out of their space. That is a sea change in how people think about operations in commercial real estate. It's putting a lot of pressure on our clients, the people who manage and own buildings.
That's right. So there's a fundamental change in property management going on. This pressure to help your customers in terms of operating their business, right? Which is very different from keeping the lights on and making sure the building is at a comfortable temperature.
That's right. I mean, one way to think about it is it didn't used to matter so much whether you were serving a law firm or a technology firm or a financial firm. Not that it didn't matter, it was important to know some of the differences in how those firms work. But today those firms work radically differently, and even firms within those different industry segments will almost brand themselves radically differently in the way they work. And so as a property manager, it's becoming more important than it ever has been to understand that and to understand what they're trying to get out of the space. And it's very uneven and chaotic and exciting because of that.
Great. So here's the seminal question. Does management and operations really matter to asset value?
Well, the intuitive answer has always been yes, right? And I think the great thing that we've learned from the report that we did is that the data also shows that the answer is yes, and it's an emphatic yes. There are very clear differences in how high-performing buildings operate as opposed to the rest of the market, and our report helped us identify some of those differences.
Great. So before we jump into those, the specific differences, tell us a little bit about who you surveyed, how you surveyed, what was the foundation for the data in the report?
Mm-hmm. We wanted to go broad in a couple of different aspects. One of those is broad in the reach of people that we spoke to. So we surveyed people, certainly our client base, but also the industry at large. We wanted to get a full-fledged picture and representation of people who work in this industry. So that's property managers, building engineers, owners and asset managers, executives, pretty much everyone who is involved in the day-to-day operations of a building, or thinking of that as a financial asset, but still with an operational focus. And so we ended up with over 900 of these people who responded to our survey, and they represented over 500 property management teams, individual teams that we were able to analyze. So a lot of rich data there. And the other way that we wanted to go broad with this is the breadth of operations and how we defined that. So we looked at the full spectrum of what we consider to be property operations. So the big piece of that ultimately is customer satisfaction and customer service, which of course is a lot of what Building Engines enables. But beyond that, communication and marketing, so not just to existing customers or existing tenants, but to the marketplace. Preventative maintenance is a big part of operations. Security and risk management. We investigated things like certifications and awards to see if those things have an impact on value. Financial efficiency, how well are you performing on your operating budget. Amenities, which is not necessarily thought of as operational, but amenities require programming. So it's not just about what you have in the building, it's about servicing and programming what you have in the building so that the tenants actually experience those amenities. And then the last piece was just more perceptual. What is the outlook of these industry professionals as they experience this sea change in the industry? What are they thinking about that? How are they addressing it? Are they terrified and sitting back reactively, or are they grabbing the bull by the horn, so to speak, and being proactive about it?
Great. So I'm not a researcher, although I pretend to be one at times, play one on TV, but 900 people, 500 firms feel statistically relevant, pretty good sampling in the market.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Plenty of data. In fact, we were even able to subdivide this into a few categories. So at the top of the market, your trophy buildings, your major market, downtown high-rise type buildings, mm-hmm. which of course operate differently even from other Class A buildings, which we looked at. And then Class B and C, and then medical office is sort of its own universe, which we were able to analyze as well, and industrial and retail as well.
Great. So at a high level, tell us a little bit about what you found.
The key question here is, does operations matter, right? And I've given away the answer. The answer is yes. But yeah. But the reason we know that is because when we looked at these buildings, we wanted to understand which are the ones that really are high performers in the market. And so that goes back to a couple of things that we talked about a minute ago. From an operational perspective, if you're going to add value at a commercial real estate asset, you're going to do it through occupying all the space, having people occupying all the space, and then to the extent that those people are paying rent, you want them to keep paying more rent. So higher rent, higher occupancy, those are the levers that you have to pull. And what we did as we structured this research was we identified the buildings that had high occupancy and high rental rates relative to other properties in their market. Mm-hmm. We actually developed three different categorizations. So if a building had both high occupancy and high rental rates relative to the market, we called those the leaders. And then the ones that had either high occupancy or high rent relative to the market, we put them in a category that we call competitors. Mm-hmm. And the leaders represented about 20% of the data set, which seems about right, you know, the top quintile, essentially, the top 20%. The competitors were another almost 30%, and then the rest of the market, we called them laggards. So the, mm-hmm. the bottom 50%+ of the market represents the rest, mm-hmm. what the leaders and competitors are differentiating themselves from. So that was the analytical approach that we took.
Great. So the good news there is if you're in one of those bottom categories, there's plenty of room to move up, right?
Well, there is, and especially if you read the report, you're going to find out what the others are doing differently. So,
and let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the specific things you learned, maybe some of the, you know, the high level items that jumped out at you in terms of what high performing teams do that's different.
Yeah, sure. And I think if I could tell a property manager one thing to do to act like a high performer, what I would say is to make sure you serve your tenants well, but to hold yourself accountable to that. So it's not just about providing good service. It's about having standards. It's about adhering to those standards and then documenting your adherence to those standards and being able to track that. So that was the single most differentiating operational practice across all property types, was that the high performers, which was a term that we use for the sort of the leader and competitor groups put together, that top half of the market, those are much more likely to provide tenant service that is according to standards and documented delivery against those standards. So I would say that's number one.
Okay.
Another thing to do is something else that we've alluded to earlier, is we said it's not just about having the technology, it's about how you use it. One of the things that actually surprised me a little is I expected the high performers in our data set to indicate that they had a more intensive staffing ratio. In other words, they had more dedicated resources at the buildings on a per square foot basis. They were more intensively staffed. That turned out not necessarily to be the case. That there was less difference than I would have expected. And in some cases, when you look at a role like property manager or assistant property manager, the intensity with which the high performer staffed was almost identical to that with which the laggards staffed. So it's not just about throwing bodies at the problem to operate effectively. It's about having the right people in those roles and enabling them with the right processes and the right technology tools. So that's the second thing, is to make sure that you're staffed appropriately. You don't have to overstaff in order to be effective and to be a high performer. Another thing is benchmarking, and it goes a little bit hand in hand with documenting and tracking your performance against standards. It's even better if you can do that in a comparative way, so that you know, perhaps you can do that internally if you're part of a somewhat larger company, and you can compare your performance against others in your company. Even better if you can do so against others in your own competitive market. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the BOMA EER is a really well-known resource for benchmarking operating expenses. Well, our high performers were much more likely than the rest to say that they used a data source like that in order to benchmark their operating expenses and show that they were performing in line with the market, or for that matter, to show where they were not in line with the market, but at least to have an explanation for that and a rationale for why they might be high or low in a particular expense category. You really are, in a sense, flying blind if you don't have access to that type of benchmark, because, again, as we talked about, that things are changing so fast now that just because you did something a certain way for a number of years, maybe 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, things are going to change, so you need a sense of what's going on in the market. So benchmarking is key to that.
What's interesting about all of those to me is that they all relate back to the very first question I asked you, which was about change. And it seems to me that for each one of those items, use of technology, benchmarking, you know, processes, there had to be someone at the organization or a group of people who are willing to commit to change and getting away from this is the way we've always operated, right? There had to be a fundamental organizational decision to embrace change and do something different.
That reminds me of a story I heard a few weeks ago of someone who said that the minute she started exposing performance within her organization, so in other words, the minute her team of property managers started being able to see their performance against others in the company, all of a sudden, the tide started rising and lifting all the boats, right? It was almost like magic. Just knowing that you're being held accountable and that there's a standard there and a standard that is changing and moving all the time, that has a tremendous impact on how effectively teams are able to adjust and to change the way they do things in order to operate better.
Yeah, and we're going to talk in a second about how people can get access to the report and the data, because there's a tremendous amount of inside information and information in there. You're just touching at the surface, but maybe to wrap things up a little bit, what should property management professionals and owners do with the results of this study and the information once they get it and have a chance to look at it?
I think the first thing to do is to recognize that, hey, you got a lot of power here. There's a lot that you have control over that you can do. Now, there's a lot that as a property manager you may not have control over. You may not have control, at least directly, over the capital budget or the operating budget, or the asking rents, etc.
Or where the building is.
Or where the building is. You can't physically move it, yeah. At least not always. But what you can do is start to emulate some of these practices, right? So you can emulate the way these high-performing buildings communicate with their customers and with the market in general. And one way you can emulate that particular aspect is to communicate a lot and with a lot of different channels. That's something that we found. You can think about the way you're using technology. So is your technology enabling you to do the things that you need to do day to day? If it is, that's great. But are you getting full adoption across your team? Are you really leveraging the efficiencies that are there? And I think even more importantly now, are you getting the data back out of your technology for whatever aspect of operations you're talking about? Are you getting the data to measure your performance, to compare it, to benchmark it, to hold yourself accountable, really, for how well you're operating? And then I think the other thing you can do, it's not quite as simple as mind over matter, mm-hmm. but one thing we did find is that the real estate professionals who were a little more optimistic and a little more proactive in their approach to all the change that's going on in the industry, they really tended to work at buildings that were higher performers. So, I mean, this could be a chicken egg thing, right? It's maybe they're more proactive because they have a solid set of practices in place and solid use of technology, good people, and so they're able to be more proactive. Right. Or maybe it's a little bit the other way around, that people with a proactive approach have tended to set structures in place that help them operate better. Maybe a little bit of both. But I think as much as you can, as a property manager, adjust your mindset and, you know, to your point earlier, embrace that change and be proactive about it and start thinking that way, then it will help you operate better. And part of that is just changing your goals, right? Embrace that new rule that your goal as a property manager is to help your tenants attract and retain talent. And I think that'll help change the way you start orienting your processes.
That's great. Reminds me of what our founder, former CEO, now board chairman, said at a meeting recently: if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, right?
So that's right.
I think there's a lot of that you can take away from this report. Well, this is really great insight. Again, there's a lot more data and information in the report itself. I want to mention to everybody that we have access to the report, a full interactive assessment. You'll have the ability to look at a webinar that Phil produced for us back a week or so ago on the topic with, some of this data. And again, access to the full report at creoperations.buildingengines.com. We'll put a link to this in the show notes for the podcast. Any final thoughts? Anything else you want to wrap up with here?
That's great. This is a really fun project to work on. It's nice when your hypothesis is confirmed,
absolutely,
right?
And
you know, you sort of know when you work with property managers for a decade or more, you sort of know that what they do really does matter. But it's nice to see in black and white just how important it is, the day-to-day operational part of real estate.
Absolutely. For us, it was a great project here. It was great to see the results of the report. We think there's a tremendous amount of value for the industry and for our customers, so we're really excited that you did this. And again, welcome to Boston. We promise that we're going to keep the Super Bowl jokes from last year's Patriots victory over Atlanta down to a maximum of one per week.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess I'll take what I can get.
All right. Thank you again for listening into this episode of CRE Tech Talks. We look forward to having you join us again in the coming weeks, where we'll continue to bring more information from both outside of the company, other technology companies, and internally again with more subject matter experts here from Building Engines. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for listening to this broadcast of CRE Tech Talks. We hope you found today's session valuable. Remember to visit our podcast page at www.buildingengines.com/CRE Tech Talks to download today's transcript and key takeaways, as well as listen to other sessions and share with colleagues. We'll see you next time on CRE Tech Talks.